feel very strongly the Lord only wants me to share a very small portion of it, and then we're going to end with communion tonight. So I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to move into this. Of course, I say small portion. I don't know what the Lord's going to do, but Lord, speak through me. We want to hear your truth. Thank you for leading us into this moment of just pure adoration for who you are, Lord. Not my words, not my thoughts, not my opinions, just your truth. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. You guys can just stay up here. Y'all can have a seat, whatever y'all want to do, unless y'all want to stand for however long. I had a title, but don't throw that up there because I'm just going to go somewhere else. Thank you, Lord. You will lose every battle in your life if you do not know who you are in Christ. That is probably the most wisest thing anyone could ever say. And I don't say that because I said it. I believe it 100% that you will lose every battle in your life if you do simply not know who you are and who you are in Christ. I feel like what the Lord wants me to bring forth tonight, we're going to continue in this I am, and that we are children of God. But I feel specifically what he wants me to remind you tonight is to give you permission to dream again because of who you are. You have permission to dream. Does that resonate with something up here? Y'all feel that? Yeah. You have permission to dream again because of who you are in Christ. And I want to tell you the significance of dreaming as it relates to who you are. I'm going to read a couple scriptures, and I don't think these are up there, Chris, so you just relax and you get to listen. All the ones who work in media have envy right now. Proverbs 23:7 says this, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Many of us thank the Lord for salvation, but we still fear judgment. As if you still have something to be saved from. And because we fear that judgment, we start to think things on ourselves that are the complete opposite of what the Lord sees you as because he has saved you, because he has redeemed you. We use church language and we embrace this idea of I don't have to earn and I don't have to become, but if you don't start thinking that way, if you don't start thinking of who you are as the Lord sees you for who you are, you will be stuck in bondage and strongholds for the rest of your life that have no authority over who you are. None at all. There's a passage in Psalm 126:1 that's referring to the people of God coming out of the wilderness, coming out of the captivity, coming out of slavery. And Psalm 126:1 says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, it says, we were like those who dream. Then, someone shout, then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord brought back when the Lord brought them out of slavery, out of captivity, we were like those who dream again. And a lot of us are at this place in life where we thank the Lord for salvation, but for some reason, we're not giving ourselves permission to dream a different reality of who we truly are and what the Lord wants to do in our lives. Because for some reason, you live in memory, not in imagination. And the Lord wants you to come out of living in the memory of who you were and start to imagine the truth of what he sees you as. Come on. Now here's what I mean by that. I'm going to read Ephesians 3:20, and I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. It says, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Listen to that again. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. You've heard it in most scriptures like this. God does exceedingly above what you ask or you imagine, not what you remember. And the biggest stronghold is when you're stuck in what you've known yourself to be prior to mercy, prior to grace, prior to freedom. The Lord does not have permission to do what he wants to do in your life if you live in who you were and not dare to imagine what you truly are. So you call yourself a child of God, yet you don't really embrace freedom as a child of God. You embrace a slavery to religious duty. So it's, I got to come to church every week so that I can be free. That is a person living in the memory of bondage. Because you're trying to break chains off with a religion of attendance. Right? You're trying to break chains off with, oh, one day I want to be free in worship like everyone else is. That's the memory of who you were. Not the daring to imagine what you are and what he has consecrated you to be. The word consecration means that you are blessed for a divine purpose. Amen. He did that before he saved you. Amen. He saved you so that you have the ability to walk in consecrated reality. Let me tell you how the mind works. Let me break this down. When you look at something, now this is, let me get scientific for a second. When you look at something, your eyes do not tell you what it is. Your eyes pick up images, and your mind will translate that image into an identity. So when I look at, you know, this keyboard, my eyes don't see keyboard. My eyes pick up images, and my mind translates that as keyboard. Does that make sense? If you don't give your mind imagination, it will live in memory and identify current things not as they are, but they limit you to what you were. So we can be in church and our eyes see images of hands being lifted up. You know, our eyes will see images of praise. But if your mind won't embrace that you are free, your mind will translate that into, that's not me. I can't do that. I don't have permission. Because no matter what kind of freedom you see, it doesn't matter what you see with your eyes. It matters where your mind locks up into a memory or into a future identity, which is a now identity of who you are in Christ. Amen. So it's like this. Last week, we talked about all these I ams, and we ministered to a lot of people who had some identity issues. And I'm going to use one of them as an example, and this is not to single out the person, and I don't think this person's in here, so if you're watching, this is not to single you out, but this is the subject matter. We had multiple people in here last week that were ministered to because they had a spirit of suicide. They were contemplating suicide. So I want you to think for a second. They were in this room of high praise, truth being spoken, and even though their eyes saw freedom, they could not give themselves the permission to imagine a life that was free. All they could embrace was a memory that was causing them to embrace a reality that they could not move forward in life. Their eyes saw freedom, but their mind translated that into, I don't have permission. The scripture says we wage not war with flesh and blood, but we wage war with principalities and things in the unseen. Your biggest war is not with demons. It's with giving yourself permission to see what you can't see. We wage war with the principalities. We wage war with spiritual strongholds, but the biggest spiritual stronghold that we deal with is that we don't give ourselves permission to imagine a reality that is different than your past or your current. And we want God to do more, but he says he will do exceedingly above more than you can imagine. And if we don't give ourselves the ability to imagine a day where we're cleansed and redeemed and whole, no matter what you experience, you're going to go back to the memory of I am not enough. You're going to go back to the memory of what happened to you as a child. You're going to go back to the memory of the conversation you had right before you entered into church. And for some reason, you think your conversation has more power than the Holy Spirit. Because you'll say, even though the Holy Spirit's moving, I can't have access to that because you don't know what I said before I walked in these doors. Do you truly believe that the Holy Spirit of God is more powerful than you, or do you think your five-minute conversation that should not have happened is more powerful than God? Do you live in the ministry of a moment, or do you live in the bondage of your memory? You are not where your body is. You are where your mind is. These people were in the middle of church dealing with, I am not enough, I have to end my life. They were in the presence of God, in the body of Christ. But just because they were in those things, their mind was still in, I'm not enough. Have you ever been like in a place and your mind is somewhere else, and you start to experience the emotion of the mindset but not the emotion of the moment? You know, like I was thinking about this week, I thought to myself, you know, there's some times where I'm driving in the car and I've got music playing and it's good, joyful music, but then all of a sudden my mind goes to a memory of my mom. And in the middle of that joy, I have a tear or two. Because even though the atmosphere is full of joy, my mind went somewhere else. So where I was in the moment was not in a car of joy, but in a memory that brought tears to my eyes. But that's what happens in life. We get these I am statements of I am a child of God and I am free and I am delivered. But the moment your mind goes to a memory that's not so good, it's almost like we chain ourselves to that memory and we forget the promise of a tomorrow. Is this speaking to anybody? Okay. I think this one's up there, Chris, actually. Romans 8, 14 through 15. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. You received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. I'm going to read that again. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. I'm going to talk about a couple things, and I'm going to end sooner, and we're going to have communion. And some of this may challenge your theology, but most theology is wrong anyway, so I get to challenge it. What does it mean to receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father? It means this: the only way you get a revelation of the Lord, the only way you understand who God is by the leading of His Spirit. You cannot grasp that He is Savior and He is Lord outside the leading of His Spirit. Do we agree? In other words, the Spirit was talking to you before you ever received Him. So any religion or denomination that tells you that the Holy Spirit is a second experience doesn't understand that the Holy Spirit is the one that led you to the first one. So the Holy Spirit leads you to a revelation of who the Lord is. When you say yes to that, when you say, yes, I believe in Jesus, when you say, yes, I accept you, Lord, in that moment, you become adopted as a son or a daughter of God. You're adopted as His church. You are adopted as His people. You are a new nation. You are a royal priesthood. Your identity shifted from what you tend to remember to a new one that is beyond your imagination. The scripture actually calls us Israel. This is the theology shift. If you still think all the prophecy is about a place, then you don't understand the I am statements of you are a child of God. Amen. We have made places more consecrated than people. I will say this boldly, and I know this might make some of you mad, but there is nothing more holy about the place Jesus walked than this carpet. Amen. Because I actually believe He is walking. There's nothing more special about the place Jesus died than your bedroom. The only difference is how much permission you give Him in His glory of resurrection, in His glory of ascension. If we truly believe in His presence is all around us, why do we give places more consecration to this temple that He dwells in? He says, when you believe in me, I'm adopting you and I am bringing you into a new identity as the people of Israel. Now, here's what's interesting about Israel. Does anyone know the first mention of Israel in the scripture? I'm done. Israel, yes, y'all were. The name was first given to Jacob after he wrestled with the Lord. I put forth to you that it wasn't necessarily the Lord that he wrestled with, it was with himself. Basically, the scripture goes, Jacob is wrestling with the Lord, and at the end, there's a revelation. Now, let me talk this out. If you study the text, what he wrestles with is himself, in that he could not understand who he was. So in his wrestle with the Lord, it was a wrestle with seeing Him as in the mirror image of the Lord's presence. So a wrestle with the Lord is the Lord's trying to tell you you're good, but you keep, as a man thinketh, I'm no good. I'm not redeemable. I'm not worthy. I'm a screw up. I am this. I am this. You're wrestling with the Lord trying to bring you into a new imagination. Like, imagine that you're good. Imagine that you're worthy. Imagine that you're clean. Imagine that you're pure. If you could just get past the memory of I'm not good enough and you actually embrace that He has made you good, you will be free of all the things that you think you have to stay in. Jacob was having this wrestling match with the Lord of who he was. And the Lord says, out of that wrestling, when Jacob kind of starts to understand who he was, he says, I'm going to identify you as Israel. And out of Israel, out of this identification, there will be a people identified in that, descendants identified in that, which would become 12 tribes. And the Lord says, we are adopted into that identity. That's why it's not a literal nation. It is a re-identification of a people. Now, here's what's interesting. Israel, does anyone know what Israel translates as? It actually translates this in the text of Genesis 32. One who struggles with God and prevails. It seems like that doesn't work. Israel means one who struggles with God and prevails. What does that identity mean, one who struggles with God and prevails? To struggle with God and prevail is through your struggle of self, when God wins, so do you. So in the struggle, you're trying to convince God that you're not good enough. And when you realize you lost that battle, breakthrough. And most of our battles are not with demons whispering, it's ourselves whispering things that we have come to believe by demonic spiritual principalities, by the words from our fathers, our mothers, our relationships. We start to embrace these words as this is who I am. And the Lord's like, I'm going to struggle with you in that until you lose so that you can prevail. Well, God, I... No, you're not. Well, God, I... No, you're not. Well, God, I... Could it be that most of our anxieties were trying to fight a battle with God that we won't win? It would explain why we are not to be anxious, because anxious people try to out-talk God. What do we get anxious about? I can't do this. Well, not if you're talking to God, because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, right? Well, I can never become that. You don't know my past. Well, I want you to start imagining and get out of the bondage of your memory. This is the title of the message. Your surrender is your victory. Amen. What are you to surrender to your true identity? I'm never going to get this. Then you never will. Not because of the Lord's ability, not because of your ability, but because you won't give yourself permission to imagine a new reality. When you start to give your mind permission to imagine, I am free, I am a child of God, I am not a slave to fear, I am not a slave to money, I am not a slave to my career. Let me tell y'all a quick story real quick. Last night, we did a fall festival at the Baptist church. And in a moment, I knew why we had to do it, because someone came up there and they wanted prayer. So I walked off from the fall festival for the first hour. And this is what happened. And if you're watching, listen. There was a young girl who went to college. And 3 months in, she started having seizures. And it's been, I think, maybe two months maybe, but she is completely paralyzed from her waist down. She hasn't walked in 2 or 3 months, completely paralyzed. She was at college on scholarship as a swimmer. The doctors have been looking at MRI, CT scans, you name it. Did y'all see this by any chance? You saw this. They came up in a golf cart, and she was sitting there. She had her blankets over her legs because she was embarrassed because her whole life she's been an athlete. That's what she does. And so they come up, and I start talking to them about what I believe in the healing power of prayer and what the Lord wanted to do. And we started talking about some things, and she started revealing some things and some possible strongholds. And I said, when was the last time you moved your feet? When was the last time you stood up? And it was months. So we started praying, and I looked at that girl, and I said, do you believe in the power of God? And she said, yeah. I said, okay, move your foot. And no joke, her foot went from here to here. And I said, is your faith building? And she said, she started crying because she hadn't seen her foot move in months. Doctors can't figure it out. Can I just give you a little tip? If the doctors can't figure it out, it's not physical. The doctors figured me out, but no. So we started praying more, and then we were asking the Lord to heal her right foot. And she had a little bit of a twitch, but she couldn't move it. But then the Lord said, tell her to try to stand. Now, I'm going to go and give you a spoiler alert. She did not stand in this moment. But she lifted off the seat for the first time. Her dad started crying because she has not been able to even get up a little bit. Her butt came off the seat. Her feet started to move. And then she was overwhelmed with tears. And the rest of the night, where she had planned to not stay because she was embarrassed, she allowed them to carry her to a table. And she sat there in the joy of the Lord for the whole night. And it's crazy because she has not been able to move, but she moved last night. And this was why. She gave herself permission to imagine a reality that she was not experiencing. And when she surrendered to that, when she surrendered to I can walk, her body listened. And we prayed probably 30, 45 minutes over her. And at the end of it, I asked her, what are you going to praise God for? And at first she said that I can be healed, and I said, mm-mm. And she said, oh, I'm already healed. And I said, I want you to begin to start trying to stand up. And she said, yes, sir. And that family walked away encouraged with great spirits because for the first time in months, her legs moved. She had strength to get up off the seat just a little bit with no help whatsoever. Because the power, what is repentance? Change the way you think. I am going to shift my mind so that everything has to surrender to what my mind believes. And what she was believing is not that she could walk on her own accord, but that she could walk by the power of God. Now, here's what I texted that family today. Because I started, you know, we get it wrong sometimes in prayer. Me as the pastor, I'm going to tell you I got it wrong in that moment by one thing. And I corrected it this morning. We started praying, Lord, give her legs so that she can become that swimmer. And they were wrapped up in the scholarship thing. And the Lord said, her identity is not a swimmer. Swimming, her being a swimmer has to bow to her identity as someone who walks as a child of God.
That's right.
And that's where I texted this morning. I said, do not pray that those legs are restored so that she can swim. Pray the legs are restored so she can walk into her assignment. And if her career as a swimmer follows that assignment, praise the Lord. But what happens in life is we start to identify ourselves as, I'm a swimmer. I'm a preacher. I'm a worship leader. Pentecostals, I have the gift of. Why are you limiting yourself? I have this. You're limiting what the Lord wants to pour out through you because you think you can only open up a door for, well, I have the gift of tongues. I have the gift of words of knowledge. I have the gifts of prophecy. I have the gift of this. I have the gift of that. Why are you limiting yourself and identifying you in a gift when the Lord says, be identified as my child who I can pour out anything I want to as rivers of living water? That's what the Lord wants from you. The Lord says, surrender to the possibility that you were created for much more than you could ever imagine. Surrender to the possibility that he can do whatever he wants through you. Surrender to the possibility that who you are right now is nowhere near where he wants you to be, even if you're older in life. One of my biggest pet peeves is old people who stop dreaming. If you're alive, dream. Lord, what do you want? What is it that I am becoming? What is it that you have consecrated me for? What is it that you want from me on this earth? Never stop dreaming. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So young lady, don't think that you're paralyzed. Thank the Lord, praise him for the end result, that you're healed. Right? So in this life, begin to think and dwell on the places that are not seen. Well, I have that written down somewhere. I don't know if I have. It doesn't matter. We have to set our eyes on things above. Not on the things that limit us, not on the things that we can imagine, but far beyond. I was talking with someone earlier about this. It was kind of comical, but I think we should point it out. There was all these protests all over the nation today. Yeah. No king this and no king that. And I don't want to get into the reasonings or anything of that nature, but I do want to point this out. Now, we can all hoop and holler, and you know what I'm about to say, that there is a king. But what I want to focus on is when we embrace no king mentality, what follows is chaos. And I will go further to say the church will not imagine a day of restoration because we see a protest like no king's protest and we get discouraged and we say, oh, it's near the end. And we say, oh, things are getting worse, and oh, would the Lord come back? He needs light and darkness to accomplish his purpose. He doesn't need to take you out of the earth to fight darkness with darkness. It is the dumbest idea in the world to think the Lord wants to snatch us away so that he can change people. What if the snatching away is snatching away your dead self so that your true self can disperse light? What if the Lord actually wants to use his church and the church starts to imagine that we actually do something beyond praying for the return of Jesus? But you have to imagine that. We live too much in fear. We live too much in fear. My wife and I, last week, we were going to get some lunch downtown, and we were going to Betty Bombers. Y'all ever been to Betty Bombers? Okay, don't go. It used to be really good. We were going in Betty Bombers, burger place, 1950s style cafe. And it shares the same building as the American Legion. Yeah, Forsyth Park. And on the sign, there's Freemasonry signs and all this. And I won't get in all that tonight, but if you're a Freemason, give it up, surrender to Jesus. You're welcome. But we stopped at the door because with Freemasonry, there's a lot of bondage involved. And my wife said, we shouldn't go in here and eat these burgers, should we? And I said, well, hold on. In the name of Jesus, any curse that tries to attach to me has no permission. And when I eat this food, it is blessed because I am blessed to be a blessing. And you know what we did? We walked into that place. We sat down in that restaurant and nothing attached. Nothing shook us. And some of you are like, what's the point of this? We live too much in fear. Do you actually believe that when you walk into the room, can you imagine that the atmosphere shifts because of your presence? Did you know? Did you know that witches will admit that they can see a light on true believers where when they see it, they won't even try to cast a spell because they know it will bounce and hit them? Did you know that? They actually won't even try because they understand the power of God is stronger than the power that they walk in. That's a true thing. And I think we have to start to imagine a day where we are so seated in heavenly places that nothing of this world can actually affect us. Do you surrender to the idea that the power of God surrounds you and you're immersed in it and it flows through you to where you do not have to worry about what you did in your past? You don't have to worry about the experience of your present. You are wrapped up in an identity that is far above and exceedingly above all that you could ask, all that you could imagine. Why do we keep putting limitations on us as the people of God? And I'm going to tell you, this is the limitation we put on us. We say, Lord, come back because it's getting worse. You're limiting that you can't change the worse. All right, well, let me ask this. If there is any of you that's ever been attached to Freemasonry, where you were a Freemason, you said pledges as a Freemason, but you have never denounced that, if you want to give it up right now, you can stand and we'll pray over you. Anybody. Even if you don't understand it, we'll walk you through it right now. You gave it up? We have two who gave it up. Anybody? Who has given up Freemasonry in this room? If that's you, just stand. One, two, three. Wow. Now, I don't know why we're going into this, but yes. That's right. Yep. I'm going to touch on that. This is basically it, guys. Whether it's Freemasonry or anything else, anything you enter in a covenant with that's not of God, you need to break off. Because it's witchcraft and it's of the demonic. There is no other covenant than the covenant with Jesus. I'm going to tell you a story. Years ago, I went to North Carolina for 3 days for I needed a spiritual cleansing, if you will. I needed to get some things out. I went to this place, and we started going through all this going through my past, going through my history. And for those of you that don't know, I found out when I was about 30 years old that I was adopted. My life was a lie. I grew up thinking one thing, and then it all came kind of crashing down in a moment. I have no idea what my family history is. So what would have been about 8 hours of going through deliverance, if you will, turned into about 4 days of it because they decided, let's just hit every point just in case. Well, this is me as a pastor. Y'all hear that? This doesn't mean I'm not saved. This doesn't mean I wasn't redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But as a pastor, when we started going through the, 32 degrees of masonry? 33. When we got to the end, the 33rd degree, Well, listen, if y'all can entertain that crap called Halloween, I can talk to you about this. And if that offends you, you know, I love you anyways. It's just my personal conviction. All of a sudden, I got to that 33rd degree, and I started, like, this cackling came out of me. I just started laughing. I couldn't stop it. And in the back of my mind, I kid you not, my mom was telling it to stop, but I couldn't stop it. And the people in the room were praying, and all of a sudden it broke off, and it was like, I mean, I just collapsed because of a generational curse that had come through my bloodline that I had no idea that I needed to break free from. There was something in me that wanted to live in a yesterday's generational curse. And there are so many of us tied to things that we, if you grew up with someone saying you will never become, that is a covenant that you have to break off. If you live in a mindset of I can never, you entered into a covenant with I can never. There is power in the declaration of your words. So I'm going to ask this, if any of you, whether it's Freemasonry or any other covenant that you've entered into with anything other than I am a lover of God and God can do whatever he wants through me, if you've entered into covenants with cult practices, witchcraft, if you've entered into covenants with I am nots, if you've got Freemasonry in your bloodline and you don't know if it's got a hold of you or not, I want you to stand and we're going to renounce stuff right now. Yeah. Fraternities and sororities. Again, fraternities, sororities, things that you have given covenants with. Some of you are looking like, wait, what's wrong with a fraternity or sorority? The enemy disguises himself as an angel of light. It looks okay, and that's where he gets permission. You enter into pledges and covenants with things other than the Lord. So if that's you, fraternities, sororities, Freemasonries, I am nots, I can'ts, I will never, can you just stand up? White supremacy? I am nots, I will nevers, sororities, fraternities, Freemasonry, cult practices, witchcraft. You've had a tarot card or a psychic reading and you thought it was innocent. You guide your life by horoscopes. You know what? I'll say it right now. I am not a Pisces. I'm a child of God. My birth month does not direct my steps or my personality or my character. Anybody else? If it's Freemasonry, could you just lift your hand up? Brian, I want you to start going over and praying over the ones to break off Freemasonry right now. You go to James. You want to go to Rick? Both of y'all Freemason? Huh? Brother. Well, right now, Lord, and just keep standing, because I'm going to go through all of these, and if any of my leaders want to have anything they want to speak into, y'all, I know this has kind of been all over the place tonight. Maybe it hasn't. The Lord wants you consumed in His. Yeah. You are His. Lord, I pray right now, I break the curse of Freemasonry off every single 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th, 31st, 32nd, and all 33 degrees broken off right now in Jesus' name, that the only covenant that all of these men and women are with, Lord, is you. I break off covenants of fraternities and sororities right now in Jesus' name. If you would, put your hands out to receive this, if you would. The Lord, I just pray that you would break off any attachments of witchcraft, of the cults, of any covenants that have been given at all, Lord. Tonight, let them start to imagine themselves not according to a generation of prior authority, but of a new generation, an Israel generation, a royal priesthood, a chosen people. I pray that they would begin to dream again, Lord. Let their eyes be open, God. Let their eyes be the word of your Spirit, God. Let them not see limitation. Let them see true self. We embrace you as King, Lord. We are a people that want to be a slave to you, Lord, to do whatever you ask of us. We surrender to you, Lord. We surrender to you, Lord. We embrace a name as Israel, that we have wrestled with you, but our loss is our victory, that your identity over us prevails. You are not what you struggle with. I don't know what that is, but you are not what you struggle with. Does that resonate with you? Far beyond what you can imagine is what he identifies you as, not your struggle. When your mind accepts that, your struggle stands no chance. Are there any other men with a word? We're going to close in communion. You got one?
You mentioned the word slave, and there might be a slight negative connotation to that word, but we're called the body of Christ, the body of Christ, and every single part of my body is a slave to me. There is freedom in that slavery. My finger and my hand has no freedom apart from this body. Zero. It's absurd. It's obscene. You're part of a body. So, Lord, show me how I am a slave to your body so I could be free, really free, and happy and joyful. My foot likes being my foot. It does all kind of cool things for me. And it will not be happy if it was removed from my body. So we can be free as slaves of Christ.
Yeah, come on, James. Thank you, Lord, for boldness in men.
So, I just like, this is something for me that I want to break off, but I have a feeling that I'm not the only one in the room. Like family lineage, so where you come from. I was also adopted. Whatever the circumstances that brought you into this world is like not the truth. Whether it was out of wedlock, a scandal of cheating, rape, incest, whatever the deal is, like that is like the Lord knew you and put you here for a reason. Like before the creation of the world, God had a plan and a purpose for you to be in this world, and that is not the truth. Like the truth is that you are a child of God. You've been adopted into his kingdom. You are his son, you are his daughter, and he has a plan for you. And any sort of like hold that has on your mind that, oh, I struggle with relationships because like my mom this, my dad this, like that's gonna be my reality too. Like, it's not true. And I just want to pray and break that off in the name of Jesus, that you'll have healthy relationships, that you are not a product of whatever man meant for evil, God is using for good, and he's going to bless his church and his people here on earth through it, and you're going to bring freedom to people through the struggle and the trial that you went through, you're going to bring freedom to so many. And so I just want to give that word.
So good. So good. It's interesting, the word of white supremacy. Has anyone ever struggled with that? Racism? I have. I'm gonna say this very. Are you standing up in agreement with this? Hey, that's all right. That's all right. When I was younger, I grew up hearing stories about my grandfather, and my great grandfather. He was the leader of the KKK in Pooler, and they used to hang African Americans right here where City Hall stands, actually. And growing up with that, I always kind of embraced that as the family. And I remember one day in high school, I went to Groves High School. Being racist at Groves didn't work. And being racist anywhere don't work. But I remember I found myself making racial comments, not even understanding why. Later on in life, fast forward, I find out that I'm adopted. So that wasn't my bloodline, but it's what my mind embraced. And I had to break that stronghold so that I no longer filter people through a racial lens. And I hope that's okay that I say that, because we have a lot of different cultures in the room. But I had to get out of that so that I could see clearly. Right? I had to break off an improper covenant. And that's what we're doing. When you break off improper covenants, you start to see clearly. You start to hear clearly. You no longer embrace bends. My heart aches for the church because I hear people say the same stuff all the time. I want to learn more. I want to learn more. You need to break off stuff before you learn anything. There's too many people that want to be studious theologians of the scripture but don't have a clue of what the scripture does for you. We have to love. We have to love people. We have to love each other. I was teaching in David last weekend on Sunday, and there's a battle right before David, or right as David became king of Judah, before he became king of Israel. And in the battle, it was brothers fighting brothers. Is that not what the church has become? Denominations against denominations, sons and daughters against sons and daughters. Republican Christians against Democrat Christians against liberal Christians. What if we just learn to love each other so that through the lens of love, truth would prevail? Your surrender is your victory. Your surrender is your victory. Surrender. And I just declare that you get to dream again. Dream of you, who you really are. There should only be one thing we identify as children of God. It's a day and age of I identify this, I identify that. I am rejected. I am this, I am that. You know the beauty of how God works? When you break things off of you, you get prepared for the next assignment that you would never be able to walk in until you break it off. You know, I told you how I had to break off a racist bent in me that I grew up with. You know, in my first youth ministry and my second youth ministry, the biggest influence I had was with African-American young men. And they'd always, it was funny because I'd walk into their schools and they'd call me pastor. Some of them call me daddy. Some of them call me all these things. And I was like the whitest guy in their circles. It was great because they didn't look at me as Mr. White Guy. They looked at me as a father figure. I would have missed out on that. There could be things you're missing out on because you're not breaking things off of you. Yeah. Talking about idolatries, an idol is anything above the Lord. Do you want to know why ethnic idolatry is real? Because we are identified as a new nation, Israel. Not the ethnic version of Israel, a people who have wrestled with God and He prevails. We're a new nation. We're a new people. That's the beauty of God. Re-identify.
I just want to add to that, because walking with so many people through the process of deliverance, it can be a thing that the enemy wants to mess with you. I mean, like, you weren't really delivered. And so I just want to let you know right now of just that mental battle that is real. The enemy, okay, he's the accuser of the brethren. And in the courtroom of heaven, the blood of Jesus speaks, which is what you just took into your body. And so the blood of Jesus is in the throne room speaking over your deliverance. And so you remind the enemy when he comes to you and go, you weren't really delivered of those things that you just renounced in front of the rest of your brothers and sisters. I am delivered. The blood speaks. And just a practical thing, because someone texted me the other day because they were reading my book and it just really helped them. And so if I could just share that on a deliverance very quickly, just exhale, like just as a symbol of it's gone. So take a nice deep breath, breathe in the Holy Spirit, and exhale whatever it is you need to be delivered of. Just, I expel it in the name of Jesus.
Hey, I'm gonna let Pee Wee close us out tonight. He has something. I know we're standing, but just keep standing. As he comes up to get ready, he's gonna share a word and close in prayer. I want you to remember and encourage you. We worship in song. We worship in identifying in the Lord. We worship in receiving the Lord's blessings, and we also worship in blessing the Lord. And I said it last week, and I'm gonna say it again. Whatever the Lord leads you to give financially, don't hold back. He wants all of you, not some of you. He wants all of you. So before you leave tonight, there's boxes out there. Sow a seed. Sow a financial offering as the Lord leads. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to tell you how much to do. I'm not even going to mention the T word. Just follow the Lord's leading. He wants all of you. You're re-identified in Him. Here you go, Pee Wee.
While we were worshiping, and y'all started, different people started announcing different things, talking about fear. The thing that the Lord began showing me over people's head was religion. And you don't really realize that we can sit here and we can talk about all these things, Freemasonry, all these things that we've made a choice. But many of us were raised in religion. And the thing that I begin to think about is you don't even realize how bound you are to pages of legalism, women being oppressed, not walking in their purpose. And the thing that the Lord began showing me was there was a woman called Mary Magdalene, and in the Bible, it said right after it talks about the perfume putting on Jesus' feet, the very next in Luke 8, it says soon afterwards Jesus began to tour the nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. He took the 12 disciples with him, along with some woman who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. It's mighty funny you talk about a young girl. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom had cast out 7 demons. Think about that. Later on, this lady, if you're not careful, it will bind you down to miss your purpose, because later on she was the only one at the tomb. Religion says a woman has no place. This is the thing, this is how God began to teach me, because I was raised in a religious system to where women don't have a voice. And God later on showed me in a church service with a woman preaching, and everything that was inside my gut said, this is wrong. And he began to paint the picture right there. If it was so important, why did he show up to a woman that had seven demons in her? Think about it. If we sit here, if the church is going to begin to walk in its purpose and going to begin to do the work of the ministry, we got to lay down all religious ties. And it was just so strong. We begin talking about these things. If we going to begin to not identify as things, I am not religious. Jesus went to the cross over that mess. So right now, Father God, we just thank you for a place that we can get beside ourselves, and we just denounce religion, God. God, we only want to walk in our purpose in you, God. So God, we thank you for what you are doing in this house. God, I just thank you for people to be vulnerable enough to begin to just to be seen, not care, because they just want to get closer to you, God. God, I just thank you for that this place has there's no ground for racism. None of these things, God. God, if your body is going to be pure, we have to begin to cleanse it. So God, we just begin to pray the blood of Jesus over this house. So God, we just thank you for every person here, the things that they have let go of tonight. God, I pray that they begin to walk with a new step, letting go. The chains are broken in Jesus' name. So God, we just thank you and we just honor you in Jesus' name.
Hey, this week, three nights of worship, Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday. There's no meeting at the table this Wednesday, no house churches. We're going to come together on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night, and we're going to worship and seek the Lord together. Amen. Man, I love you guys. Walk in your identity as a child of God.